Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
If you have your Bible, get it open to Psalms 124. Psalms 124. Get your Bibles open or your apps open. We are going to continue what we've been doing for the last handful of weeks. If you haven't been here at all or you've missed one or two here and there, just a friendly reminder, we do have a podcast. Everything is on the podcast. Just search Studio Greenville or go on YouTube. Everything is uploaded usually by Tuesday, Wednesday of each week. A lot of people ask me, do you have a podcast? Is this recorded? I tell people, yes, been there for years and years and years, but there it is, go there. But we started a conversation a few weeks ago, and the title of that talk was The Paradox of Waiting and Suffering. And then we've just been kind of continuing that theme and moving into, we have now found ourselves in what is called the Song of Ascent in the book of Psalms. Psalms 120 to 134 is 15 songs or 15 psalms. And these are called the Song of Ascents. And we've been unpacking and we spent some time a few weeks ago in Psalms 126, which happened to be one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. Then we moved over to 127. And then today we're going to spend time in chapter 124. The reason why we're spending our time here, because these songs are so deeply connected to living life as a human being, but how do we do it well and not just be underneath everything and not just suffer, but actually move towards who God is and towards his promises. And these are beautiful songs. We've been taking our time going through them, but just as a reminder, these are 15 different songs that were written by a people because they needed songs to move them forward. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Some Jewish traditions tell us that there was 15 steps that went to the temple. And on each step, they would sing one of these songs. So Psalm 120 would be the first one. The second step would be Psalm 121, and so on and so forth, all the way up into the whole idea of the Song of Ascent is motivated by this concept. We are moving towards God. We are moving towards his temple, and we're moving towards his presence. These songs are not designed to go any other direction but to bring you to who God is and who he says he is, not just in theory, not just in word, but actually his presence that carries the essence of everything he is. And that's what's so beautiful about these songs. And I want you to remember, as we read these songs, remember, these were songs that were written by a people that helped them to navigate scenarios of life and death. This wasn't just a rough day in the office type of song. This was songs that were written for them to navigate life and death scenarios. It actually led them emotionally, it led them practically, and it led them spiritually. Why is this important? Because sometimes we don't realize the power of songs. And I don't know about you, but I love music. I love to feel music. I particularly love bass a lot. I like my body to feel it. I like my mirrors in my car to shake. I like music. I just like to crank it up. But songs have the ability to transcend different paradigms. It can break the rules of communication. You can paint pictures, and with sound, it can violate. If you would take the same word structure and use it in a sentence, it wouldn't make sense. But because it's in a song format, wrapped with sound, it's able to transcend so many boxes and lines that we put. And that's what's so beautiful about these psalms, that they transcend and they take you to a different place if you allow them to. And so these songs were not just cute little words on paper or cute little words that were spoken. For some of these songs, they were actually survival songs. These were songs that led a nation through life and death scenarios. If I can emphasize a little bit more, they relied on these songs to get them through. And that's the power. Sometimes you come here on a Sunday and there's a certain song that's sung and the person next to you looks like they're so bored, and then the person on the other side of you is completely lost in the song. You see, that's the power of song. They can grab and speak to the essence of where you're at and what's going on and the beauty of who God is. And that's the power of these songs. So these songs in particular were actually called survival songs. They were songs that helped them to survive what they were navigating in life and death scenarios. So why don't we read this psalm together? Psalm 124, there's 8 verses. We're going to start right in verse 1. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who had not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare had been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want you to notice throughout these 8 verses, there is a communal language to it. We, us, and our. This song was not written by a person. This song was written for a people. This is important for us. And as we live in a very individualistic framework in modern society, the desire to move toward a we framework is vital and crucial to understand that when you have a victory, I should celebrate your victory as if it were my own victory. And if something is happening in your life that is tragic, it should bother me just as much as it bothers you. That's the language here. God saved us. If he had not been there, we would be dead. The whole idea, it's communal, it's connected, it's being connected. So I want to encourage you as you go into these songs, as you go into these psalms, understand they are not written for just you as an individual. There's application there, there's beauty there, there's flexibility there. But in its essence, when you read these, remember, they were written for a people. So in a way, they are written for us as a community. Are you guys with me still? Yeah. The last few weeks, as we have studied the Song of Ascent, it is actually revealing to us some life-changing principles that are incredibly dynamic. And one of the main principles is this. It is your choice to move towards God. No one on this earth can make you choose God. They can motivate you. They can force you. But at the end of the day, it is 100% your decision. Why is this important? Because sometimes we are expecting something, someone to do something for us. And what we're learning in these Song of Ascent is that it is my choice to move towards God or it is my choice to move away from him. And the challenge we have in the paradox of waiting and suffering is we oftentimes let life scenario determine if we move towards God or we move away from God. And what we have to understand here in these scriptures is that you and I are responsible to choose him or not choose him. No one can do that for us. And this is important because I believe every emotion that we ever experience is always an invitation to move towards him. I believe every scenario that you face in life as tragic and as challenging to as most glorious and triumphant, everything in between, every experience, every scenario, every emotion that goes through your system is an invitation to move towards God. This is one of the most life-changing principles that we can get from these songs, that I get to choose to move towards him. And oftentimes when we have challenging scenarios, or we have challenging emotion that we don't necessarily know what to do with, we often retreat and we try to get our act together before we go back to God. It's actually in that moment you need to move towards him with humility and admit, I don't know how to process this. I was just talking with someone in between gatherings, and the emotion of anger is a rather new emotion to actually process. and they are a little bit older than me, their entire life have suppressed anger, And now they're letting it because they are reaching certain places in their life where that thing is holding them back. So this anger, and verbatim, I don't know how to process this. I said, that's all right. Just move to God. He'll show you how. Move towards him. Some of us in this room do not know how to deal with sadness and grief and betrayal. And so oftentimes we retreat into our own little cave and try to get our act together. It's actually a decision to retreat. And the most life-changing principle you and I can get from this study the last few weeks is everything is an opportunity to take a step and sing a different song. I'm going to take another step. And if you read Psalms 120 through 134, they're not necessarily the most joyous, uplifting song. They are survival. This one's like, man, if God hadn't been there, we'd all be gone by now. So these aren't like just, God, thank you. You're so awesome. We're so grateful for you. They're like, God, we barely made it only because of you. What's that saying? It's being honest with the truth. It's being honest with the reality, but not letting that circumstance move them away from God, but to actually move them towards him. So this is a life-changing principle. What's interesting about these, I want you to notice these songs are not songs of descent. They're songs of ascent. They're actually songs that are moving you toward God instead of songs that are moving you away from God. Now, let's ask the question, how do you know if your song, now, song could be a metaphor for stories that you tell yourselves. Some of you are like, I don't relate to songs. I don't sing. Great. But everyone in this room tells themselves a story. Yeah. Everyone has a narrative, a conversation with you, yourself, and I. We all are talking and singing something inside that's making us believe whatever it is in front of us and everything that's surrounding us. So if you want to use song or narrative, that's your choice. Use them interchangeably. But how do you know if you're actually singing songs of ascent, which is taking steps towards God? Or how do you know if you're actually singing songs of descent, where you're actually moving away from him? Because I wonder how many times we're singing a song or we have a narrative that we think is moving us towards God, but maybe it's not. It's actually moving us away from him. So here's some really simple tips to understand. A song of ascent will actually move you towards humility. Will actually move you towards faith. Will actually move you towards gratitude. If your story you're telling yourself or the song that you're singing is not moving you towards humility, towards gratitude, and towards faith, there's a possibility you're singing a song of descent. So how can you tell if you're singing a song of descent if it's moving you more towards pride? Yeah. Entitlement. And here's the kicker, striving. When you find yourself striving in life, there's a possibility you're actually you're singing a song of descent, not ascent. If you find pride elevating in your life and you are putting yourself above the situations and the people and everyone else around you, it's just a couple notches below you, then guess what? You might be singing songs of descent. Because this is the crazy part. You and I have the ability to justify and to create meaning however we want to create meaning as long as we end up on top. And so this is the challenge. When something as hard is happening in our life, we are looking for ways to become more powerful in our stories. And so we tell ourselves whatever is necessary to make sure we come out on top. The challenge with that, we think we're doing something beautiful, but in fact, we're actually elevating ourselves in pride and striving and entitlement. So I want to encourage us today, let's be a people that are actually ascending towards God, not descending into pride, arrogance, entitlement, and striving. So the question I want you to ask yourself today, what song are you singing? What song is going on your playlist today? What is your playlist playing right now, the last season of your life? The other dynamic that's taking place in this psalm can be summed up in two words, if not. And in that carry the idea, if God had not been involved, we would be gone. It's recognizing what God has done in your life, even though that horrible thing happened. It's recognizing, yeah, the ocean almost swallowed us, but God was there and it didn't. So the scenario still took place, but it didn't happen. I wonder how many times, in fact, I don't think we have a clue how many times God does something and we have no idea he did it and we're still here today. This last week alone, if I would have left my house 30 seconds, maybe 20 seconds earlier on Wednesday morning, I would have been in a head-on collision. But I wasn't. Why? Because if God had not been there, we have no idea how active God's protection is in our life. We have no idea how many cliffs we almost drove off metaphorically in our life, but God just steered us in a different direction. And so we spend so much time paying attention to the scenarios of when we wish he showed up, not realizing 1,000 times he showed up just perfectly fine, but we had no idea. We spend our entire day talking about where's God, where God said, oh, he's there. You just don't know it. We just don't know. We don't recognize it because we never hear about it. And this is important to recognize. This song is highlighting the fact that if God hadn't been involved. So we need to create a new narrative, a fundamental foundation of our narrative. Man, God is so involved in my life. I just don't know all the places he's involved. And working from that posture instead of flipping the narrative and saying, where is God? Oh, he is there. He's everywhere. He's working on your behalf. So part of our health, our movement into health, is to actually grounding ourselves in the reality that good things are actually happening. It's actually making ourselves get more anchored, more rooted in the beauty of what God is doing and the good that is happening. If you cannot move in that direction, it's very difficult to flip this script. I personally have flown over 1 million miles on one airline called United Airlines in my lifetime, which is very nice now because I have a certain status that I will have the rest of my life, praise God. And I do care about that. Candace could care less. I definitely care about status. It is really important to me. And I'm like, Candace, come stand with me. We have status. We belong here. This is important. Stand in the front of the line with me. I earned this. No. Actually, I do think that. I don't know if I say that, but I do think that. But I've flown over 1 million miles with one airline, and most of those miles were international flights. So that requires you to fly over large bodies of water called the ocean, which just elevates the reality of, man, there's no hope out here either if something bad were to happen. But I want to tell you, isn't it interesting? We talk about flying, and there is a general fear or concern around flying. There seemed to be more of a narrative around, look at all the accidents. Oh, my goodness, another airplane crashed, another airplane crashed. And that becomes the dominant narrative. Well, I want to tell you some statistics that I think will be shocking. Globally, over 100,000 commercial flights take off and land safely every day. Every day around the world, over 100,000 flights take off and leave commercially. Not even considered private, that's just commercial. According to the International Air Transport Association, the accident rate in 2023 was about one major accident per 1.26 million flights. In terms of fatalities, 2023 saw 0.03 fatal accident per million flights, meaning 99.99997% of commercial flights land safely without any incident. If you flew every single day for the rest of your life for 25,000 years, you would not get in a plane accident. In the U.S., the National Transportation Safety Board reports that the chance of being killed in a commercial airline crash is about 1 in 11 million. Bottom line is this. The success rate of commercial airlines safely taking off and landing is essentially 99.9999%. Crashes are so rare that the bigger risk on a flight is usually spilling your coffee, not the plane going down. But isn't it interesting? We're more aware of the accident, not recognizing that it's highly successful. There's so many good things happening in that space alone. So what did that tell us? Where are you anchoring your narrative in? This is not even a spiritual topic right here, this whole flying thing. Practical every day. But yet we anchor ourselves in a reality. And here's the challenge with that. Our culture right now, the world systems are moving you towards fear, anxiety, and worry. That is the algorithm expectation on your life when you live in a world system. It moves us towards fear, it moves us towards anxiety, and it moves us towards worry. The problem is we call it wisdom. Oh, it's just wisdom. I shouldn't do that because X, Y, and Z. You have to understand, if a algorithm is making you smaller, making you condense your life, and putting more boxes and safeguards around your life, I'm going to post you, that's not wisdom. That's anxiety. That's fear. That is worry. It's really good, actually, isn't it, Melissa? So ask yourself, am I getting more safeguarded in my life? Then what you'll probably notice is your soul is crying out and saying, this is so boring, this is so static, and I'm so scared. And I want to challenge you, that is not wisdom, that is fear, that is anxiety, that is worry. You are not meant to be confined in a box of a bunch of safeguards. You were never designed that way. The church was never designed to be safe and protected. The church only thrives when you take risk. The church only thrives when you get persecuted. The church only thrives when you know how to navigate trials and circumstances and come out the other side saying, man, that was rough, but if God hadn't been involved, I'd be dead. That's what you and I are designed for. We only thrive when you're on the front line, when you're on the cutting edge of whatever it may be. So if you're bored in your walk with God, it's not my fault and it's not any church's fault, it's yours. And that's the challenge we've been told. It's someone else's fault. It's not me, it's them. And that's the challenge. The algorithm is wanting you to blame something. It's wanting you to put the responsibility on something else and someone else. That's called songs of descent. You're moving away from God and actually not moving towards him. And so when you find yourself blaming the world around you, you're missing out on an opportunity to make a choice in that moment of how you're going to navigate it. Okay. So fight for a different algorithm. Create a different algorithm in your life. We do this every day on social media. Why am I getting all these feeds and posts? Could you look at it once and now it feeds you it more? So reset the algorithm and don't ever give that an eye. Look at something that you want to be fed with. Look at something that you actually want to be pipelined directly from the heart of God to your heart. So we actually now control our algorithms. There was a time where you didn't, but now we actually can control what's coming at us on our screens every day of our lives. What you talk about, your phone hears you and sends you every Amazon link of where you can buy it. Which is terrifying, but at the same time, it teaches you, watch what you talk about. Watch what you feed yourself with. Watch what you're watching. Watch what you're expanding and hardening. Watch it all, because that's creating the algorithm that's either moving you towards fear, anxiety, or striving. Or is it moving you towards humility, faith, and gratitude? So we can't move into a space of blaming. That's a song of descent. There is a responsibility each of us have, and that is to create a different algorithm. Is to create a different narrative. A song of ascent sounds like this. Someone that's going through suffering, but still gives thanks, still trusts, and still humbly admits their need for God. That's ascent. Song of descent sound like this. Is someone who doubled down on control, blame everyone else, forget gratitude, and get stuck in bitterness. That's song of descent. Should I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. All I need is Melissa. Melissa said yes, I will do whatever she says. If blame was the motivator behind writing Psalms 124, this is what it would sound like. If we wouldn't have been attacked, if the men didn't rise up against us, if Egypt wouldn't have chased us into the sea, that's what blame sounds like. Humility sounds like, man, we were chased into the sea, but God opened it up and it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Humility sounds like, man, they were chasing us. They were about to kill us with their teeth, but God showed up and they didn't. See, that's humility. It's recognizing what's happening, but also recognizing who you depend on. And when you say, man, if that didn't happen, that shouldn't have happened in my life, or that shouldn't have happened, if only that person didn't say that thing, I would be okay. That's blame, blame, blame. Song of Ascent is saying that person said something about me, or that situation took place in my life, and that crisis happened that tore my heart apart. But I chose to trust him. I chose to depend on him. I chose not to get bitter. And I chose to take another step towards God. That's what songs of ascent sound like. And we have this word in our vernacular now called processing. I'm just going to process. And I believe in it. Believe me. I love processing. I get processed with a lot. So there's a space for it. But if you're processing with multiple people that are not involved in the situation, and you chose them because you know they have enough empathy to side with you, that's not processing. That's gossip. That is pure gossip, and it's so toxic. I've seen it destroy relationship and destroy community because we say it's processing. All we're doing is justifying pride in our heart. We can't admit we have pride in our heart. We can't admit I'm striving to be in charge of this scenario. We can't, and so we find ways to dress it up, and I'm just processing. Can I process with you? Yes, puke on me. I would love for you to puke on me. And now I want to puke on you. You know, let's just puke on everybody. Let's get everybody involved in this injustice, and let's not talk to the actual person. And this is what we do in communities and cultures. And I wanted to say, we have another option. We have a completely different route and process that you and I can choose to go on. It's called Songs of Ascent. Yeah, that was painful. Man, the ocean, that was scary. The ocean was in front of us. Egypt behind us, Moses hit the ground and the ocean parted. Like, well, never seen that before. And all of a sudden, this song is written about this was so hard and scary, we thought we were going to die. However, God was on our side. That's what comes out of your mouth. Someone tried to destroy me, someone betrayed me, but you know what? It's okay because God was with me and carried me through that pain and darkness. And I'm now on the other side, and I get to stay here and say, I trusted in him. I'm more humble than I've ever been before, and I'm so grateful. That's what you and I are designed to be. Remember, blame feels like a relief in the moment, but it eventually steals all your power. Responsibility feels heavy at first, but it leads you to freedom. Here's the tip before we close. When you feel the need to blame someone or something, pause and think to yourself, what can I take responsibility for in this moment? I get to choose to continue down this thought, or I can choose to be humble, grateful, and I can choose that route instead of this one. And that will move you away from being a victim and moving you into being someone that knows how to sing songs of ascent that move towards God. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.